Amen. We praise God for all of you today, for what God is doing in your life. We thank you for being here on this Winter Wonderland Sunday. But look at somebody and tell them, I made it. Amen. You made it. Praise God for all of you who are here today. And for those of you who will be listening when the sermon get online today, later today, we praise God for you too. Amen. And so listen carefully as we continue with our theme for 2019. In 2019, it's time to take over. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness in the building? Amen. I'm not going to read all of chapter 30. You can read it in your hearing. You can read it at home. You can read it at bedtime. But you go back and you read 1 Samuel chapter 30 and read it from verse 1 all the way through to 30. Amen. I'm going to just pull out just verse number 8. And sister, I don't think I have that pulled out as a separate, but just get to the one with verse 8 on it. There we go. Amen. I'm just going to read verse 8 today, where it says, and David inquired of the Lord. Amen. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? David inquired of the Lord. He says, shall I pursue this raiding party? Sometimes you just got to ask God some questions. Amen. Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And the answer came back and said, pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Amen. And receive and succeed in the rescue. Look at somebody and tell them it's time to take over. Tell them again. Tell them it's time to take over. Say it like you mean it now. Say it like you mean it. You got to have a mind. When you say stuff like this, you got to mean it. You got to let them know. Tell them it's time to take over. All right. Isn't it amazing what type of things people survive these days? We hear of people surviving cancer, abuse of all kinds, natural disasters, financial setback. It's wonderful to survive. But we all want to do more than just survive. Can I get a witness? Yes. Listen, God wants us to do more than just survive. God wants us to thrive. Hello, somebody. 1 John 5:4 does not say, for whosoever is born of God survives the world. And this is the victory that survives the world, even our faith. No. 1 John 5:4-5 says this, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Look at somebody and say overcomes. Overcomes the world. And I asked the congregation yesterday, I said, who's the prince of the world? And they said the devil. And I said that since God say if we're born of him and we overcome the world, that means we can overcome the devil himself. Amen. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes in Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. If we believe and if we're born of God, God said that we're more than conquerors. We are even overcomers. To overcome means to prevail, to pass over, to gain the victory. We don't just settle for surviving. We want to gain victory. Do I have any victorious people in the house today? The spirit of the overcome has victory in their sights, has victory in their mind. How many of you know it got to start in your mind? It's got to be started. You got to renew your mind. You got to renew the way you've been thinking. You got to think like an overcomer. You got to think like you're more than a conqueror in order to be victorious in the world today. To be an overcomer requires a belief. He said that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. You do not become an overcomer by trying alone. You become an overcomer by trusting with your whole heart. It is by belief or your faith that we are born again, repented, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, and when the Holy Ghost come, you shall receive power. If we want to be victorious, it's time to stop trying to work everything out on your own and start trusting in the one who created our very souls. What are you trusting in? If it's yourself, it will die. If it's pleasures, it will go away. If it's money, you're going to spend it. If it's your job, they don't always need you. Hello, somebody. If it's the world will chew you up and spit you out. Today, if we're looking at today we're going to look at nine actions or strategies that David did in this chapter that led to victory in his situation. Now, I'm not giving these as a formula. We simply want to see some of the principles that David operated in. And I want us to understand that, listen. One thing I truly believe in is that if you're going through something, if you're going through a crisis, find your situation in the Bible. Because it's in there. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Hello, ain't nothing new under the sun. Anything you're going through today, you can find it in the Bible. You find it in the Bible and you see how God dealt with it back then. And guess what? He'll do it again. Because the Bible said he never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if he did it for Daniel, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he'll do it for you. If he did it for David against Goliath, he'll do it for you. But we just have to follow the same principles. And watch God move on our behalf. Now, I need some help today. I need some help. I know we ain't got a whole bunch of folk, but I need at least nine people. And I think we got about nine folks. If we just go around this way, about nine folks to help me today. Amen. What's going to happen is a scripture going to pop up on the screen. And if that's your number, I just want you to read that scripture. That's all. I just want you to read it. That's all I need. I need for you to read the scripture. And don't get scared. I know it might be Old Testament and it might have some words. Ain't none of us in here Hebrew or Greek, so don't worry about it. I'll help you out if it becomes a little challenging, but I need some help. I need some people to just help me out as we go through the scripture and go through the sermon here today. And I need just nine people to do that. Can I get a volunteer? Tell me, you number one? You number one? Remember your number. Nick, you number two. Amen. No, Sister Glover is number three. So I got one, two, three. Okay, you number four. I'm coming on. Five. You five. You six. You six. Six. Seven. Eight. You nine. All right, you be number nine. All right, we got it. Remember your number. When I call your number, you just stand up and you just read the scripture on the screen. That's all I need you to do. Amen. Now, if you just start feeling it, and the Holy Ghost get a hold on you, you just go ahead and preach the scripture. If you're feeling like that, amen. Who number one? Okay, you hold that mic, you give it to number two when you're done, when I get there, amen. But, you know, you got to have a strategy. You got to have a plan if you're going to take over. If you're going to take over, you got to be ready to take over. You got to lay out the plan. The Bible says, write it down and make it plain so that men may see and understand. And so we're going to look at nine strategies that David had today as he became victorious in the way he dealt with his situation. Amen. Now, we have to truly understand that David had just came back from Ziklag. And when he got back, he got back to Ziklag. And when he got back, his family was gone. The city was burnt to the ground. Mm-hmm. And his men that was with him, they were in anguish and in pain. And so here we are with the first strategy that David had. Number one.
So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep.
So read again. They did what?
So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep.
Somebody said, Pastor, how's that a strategy? He expressed his grief along with his men. He was not ashamed to express the emotion he felt at the time. How would you feel if you came back? Your wives are gone. Your children are gone. And your homeland has been burnt to the ground. How would you feel? Listen. That's a healthy thing to do. David did not consider himself so spiritual that he was above weeping. We also understand that Jesus wept, did he not? Shortest verse in the Bible, if you haven't read it yet, I'm going to tell you right now. The shortest verse in the Bible is just two words. Jesus wept. And if you truly understand why Jesus wept, you know the whole salvation of the world. Hello, Jesus wept on that occasion because his friend died. You weep when your friends die, don't you? Yes. Amen. So there was Jesus wept. Now David is weeping because his wife, his family, everything he owned is gone. Imagine if you get back home today and your house been burnt to the ground. All your clothes, everything gone. Pictures that help memories for you are gone. I believe you too, and I will too, start to weep. Amen. I will start to weep. He was willing to be vulnerable. People loved him for that. Sometimes leaders think they have to be strong and restrain all their emotions. We will see that David is still strong. He's still strong in the Lord, not in carnality. He's not prideful in a prideful way, but David wept, and so did all his men. Now, these were seasoned soldiers. These were men of war and valor, but they were men, not robots. They were men with hearts. They was men with families, and so they cried out loud. I think the church should be a place where we can rejoice together, where we can shout and praise the Lord like we did today. But I also believe that the church is a place where we can cry together. Amen. Hello, somebody. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Amen. And weep with those who weep. In other words, live out the ups and downs of life together as a community of believers. This is not a house of performance. Hello, somebody. It's a house of relationship. Amen. It's a place to be real. It's a place to let your hair down. It's a place to be real with yourself and God and those who are around you so that they can help lift you up. Amen. Our worship and our interactions are to reflect what's really happening in our lives. It's good and proper to sing of the goodness of the Lord and even dance for joy. We good at that. But it's also all right to sing songs like It Is Well With My Soul. Second verse says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is well. It is well within my soul. David wept, and it didn't make him any less of a man. It didn't make him any less of a leader. It allowed him to be human and express his grief. Look at somebody and tell them it's all right to cry sometime. Tell them it's all right to shed a tear. Because Jesus will wipe it away. Amen. Number two,
David's two wives had been captured.
And on him.
Say it again, Parks.
And on him.
And on him. And
Jerrell.
Of Jerrell and Abigail, the widow of Nabal and of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. One was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord, his God.
When folks start hating on you, hello, and I know some of us got some haters. When folks start hating on you because it said that they were distressed and they was talking about stoning him. Because they was bitter in their spirit because they lost their sons and daughters. When these things happen and you ain't got nobody on your side, David had to turn to the one he can turn to. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. There's a big difference between drawing strength from the Lord versus trying to simply be strong in yourself. Hello, somebody. You can't do it on yourself. You can't do it by yourself.
There's a difference between the confidence that comes out of time spent with the Lord versus self-confidence that relies on our own resources. I ain't got all the resources. God got them. One happens in our spirit. The other is a soulish thing. When you're pumped up in pride in who you think you are. Paul prayed for believers that God would strengthen them with might through his spirit in their inner man. And when you got strength from the inside, can't nobody stop that kind of a strength. The King James Version said it like this. It said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Have you learned how to do that? Many times we can encourage one another. In fact, the Bible tells us to do that. David was encouraged by Jonathan a few chapters earlier. How did Jonathan encourage David? He reminded him of God's promises to him. He said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." We should encourage each other by reminding one another of God's promises and God's faithfulness. But how did David encourage himself? How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? Could I suggest that David prayed and he talked to himself while he prayed? Anybody talk to yourself? Just tell me the truth. Don't play with me now. Don't play with me. Anybody just talk to yourself? Look at somebody and tell them you ain't crazy. Tell them it's all right to talk to yourself. Amen. And when you answer yourself, that might be a different issue. But it's all right. It's all right to talk to yourself. Amen. It's all right to talk to yourself. Listen to David in Psalms 42 and 5. Here's what he said. Listen to what David said. He said this. I think it's on the screen. Here it comes. Maybe not. But in verse chapter 42 and 5, he says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Listen, even though he was downcast, even though he was disturbed, even though he had lost his, he put his hope in God. And he said, "Yet will I praise." You got to learn how to praise God even through the difficult times. You got to learn how to praise him when nobody else is around. You got to learn how to get a praise out. That's how you encourage yourself. You start praising God in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your time of trials and tribulations. You will find yourself in another dimension. Folks be looking at you like you're crazy. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you smiling? And I know you broke. Why are you smiling? And I know you're going through. Then you just tell them, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." David had to talk him to himself. He had to talk to himself that way. He didn't have nobody else there to do it for him. His men was talking about stoning him. It's nice to have a Jonathan around to encourage you. It's nice to be surrounded by people who will stand with you when things are getting rough. But what if all that is not there? What do you do? Paul had a similar experience that he described in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was trying to do the work of the Lord, but there were some serious setbacks. Alexander the coppersmith was giving him a hard time. Demas forsook him. In fact, Paul said in verse 6, he said this, "At my first defense, no one stood with me." Nobody stood with me, but all forsook me. Have anybody been there? You look around, you couldn't even find your best friend. Everybody gone. Then he added in verse 17, "But the Lord," I like it. You got to get to a point where even when your friends are gone, you got to say something like this. "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Listen, people will not always come through for you. Can I get a witness? They will not always come through. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus. Jesus said to you and to me, "I will never, never forsake you." You can always go to him in prayer. Always. Look at the contrast in this passage of David's response to the crisis versus the response of his men. Instead of drawing strength from the Lord, what did they do? They blamed somebody else for their trouble. They blamed David. I don't need to say it. That's the wrong response. When we take on a victim mentality and start blaming all of our troubles on somebody else, we're on the wrong track. What did Israel do when they ran out of water in the wilderness? They started blaming Moses. Then they even tried to blame God. God has brought us out here to die in the wilderness. What message are you sending yourself when you experience a setback? Is it we're all going to die in the wilderness and with Moses and say Moses is all your fault? Or is it David, look what kind of mess you got us into. I knew I should have never hooked up with you in the first place. Or are you saying things to your soul like, soul, why are you cast down? Put your hope in God. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he found strength in nobody but God. Amen? Amen. Number three. Who's number three? Amen. Can you see it? You can look up there. You can look back there. Either way. She got her glasses on. She can see. Amen. 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 That's our focal point. David did not go off half-cocked to recover his family. He did not just go off in haphazardly way. Listen, I don't know if I would have that kind of discipline in the situation. Some of us know when we're in a tight situation, we just react. We just go right off the chain. Let it happen. Let's right now. Right now. But it was the right thing to do. When a crisis happened in our life, it would be good for us to take a little time and collect yourself. Collect your thoughts. Remind yourself of the Lord's faithfulness. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And then ask God what to do next. Ask for his wisdom. Don't assume you know what you need to do or what needs to happen next. Amen. It was said on New Year's Eve, First Lady Diane read it in our things for the new year for 2019. She read the scripture of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says for us to do this. Trust in the Lord. Hello, somebody. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge who? Who is him? God. And he shall. Who going to direct your path? God will direct your path. We got to inquire of the Lord. That was the third thing David did. He inquired of the Lord. Amen. Have you ever received a call or a decision that was made by somebody that was very upsetting to you? Everything in you wanted to call them up and give them a piece of your mind. Anybody ever felt that way? You ever felt to the point where you just wanted to punch somebody right in the face? Now don't play with me now. I know we're in church. We're in church. Amen. Amen. But you ain't been saved all your life. Amen. 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 But by the grace of God, you called on the name of Jesus. Have you ever had to tell somebody, you better be glad I'm saved? Hey, you better be glad I know Jesus right now. Amen. You prayed and you got direction from God. And after you had a little talk with Jesus, did he make it all right? Yeah, he made it all right. And you was able to talk to that person in a more calm and gentle way. But if you had followed your first impulse, we'd be getting a call from the justice center. I need some bail money for assault. Amen. probably made the matter even worse than that. But David, he got a hold of himself. And he said, wait a minute. Let me talk to God just for a little while. My family has been kidnapped. My men's family been kidnapped. It would have been easy for him to just jump back into their horses and ride off in a cloud of dust. But do you see the discipline that he exercised? If David had to ask God about whether he rode off to recover his family, I would suppose we should inquire of the Lord about any and everything that comes our way. Amen. Who's number four? Turn it on. There we go.
David went in obedience to what the Lord told him to do.
Amen.
David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor Ravine, where some stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and 400 men continued the pursuit.
David went in obedience. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to be obedient. Tell them again, you got to be obedient. I am convinced that if the Lord had told David not to go, he wouldn't have gone. I just believe he had so much faith in God. If God would have said, stand still, David would have just stood where he was. And just believe that God's getting ready to make a way for his family to be recovered. Remember the children of Israel when they first arrived at the promised land? The 10 spies came back with their report. It's a good land, but there are some mighty big giants over there. I don't think we can do this. But Joshua and Caleb encouraged them to obey the Lord and go in and possess the land. Instead, Moses listened to the majority and did just the opposite of what the Lord told them to do. Then later, when the Lord told them not to go in, they decided to go in. They understood nothing about obedience. They understood nothing about having the Lord's presence and approval upon what they was doing. David could have done like the children of Israel. Once he got the leading of the Lord, he could have begun to lean upon his own understanding and say, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't go. It's more of them than it is of us. They outnumber us. They really outnumber us 2-1. Maybe we should just wait a while and see if we can negotiate a trade or something. But God told David, go. And David went on the strength of go and be obedient by the word of God. Tell somebody, be obedient. Number five. Who got number five?
David pursued the enemy in the spirit of another setback.
In spite of another setback.
Mm-hmm. For 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine, but David and 400 men continued the pursuit.
Amen. Listen. David pursued the enemy. I want you to get this. You got to have a strategy. You got to be willing to go in spite of setbacks in your life. If anybody had any setbacks in your life, amen, amen. Here they are on their way with only 600 men to start. They probably going to face a much larger force when they get there. They'll need all the help that they can get. But what happens? 200, one-third of his men decided they can't go on. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I mean, God has given you an assignment and you're trying to get it done, but it's another thing to do it and try to get it done. But when one third of the folk with you decide that they can't do it no more and they just sit down on you, amen, it's going to be hard enough with 600, but now you only have 400. What do? Do the rest of you sit down and give up too? No. The Lord said he would give you victory. And when he said he's going to give you victory, it don't matter if you got 600, 400, if it got down to just David and two other men. When God said he has given it to you, it's already done.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that sometimes one setback is followed by another setback? Just when you get started on what God called you to do, the devil hit you with something else. And you just get over that and you go a little bit further, the devil hit you with something else. You get done with that and the devil hit you with something. Oh, don't tell me I'm by myself now. Don't have me up here bouncing by myself. No. That's what the enemy does to you. Try to hit you with one setback after another, another setback after another. But you got to be determined to be like David, and you got to be ready to keep going in spite of the setbacks in your life. I can tell you this. It's just a part of living on this planet Earth that we're going to have setbacks. How do we deal with those unforeseen events that seem to set us back in life? How do we deal when the enemy tries to kick you back farther than you're trying to gain? How do you deal with taking three steps forward and four steps back? How do you deal with that? Come on, let me tell you, let me encourage you, church. This is not the time to throw in the towel. It's not the time to give up on God. It's not the time to, it is the time to keep moving and take over. You think you're down? Tell the devil he's a liar. Yeah, and that you're bouncing back. We got to learn how to reverse this thing on the devil. Tell the devil to watch out because you're getting ready to take over. You're not going down. You're springing forward towards your future and not backwards. You're launching into your destiny, not loafing in your path. We got to tell the devil enough is enough. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm going over and not under. I'm pressing toward the mark of a prize of a high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm sick of being sick. I'm tired of being tired. I've been broke long enough. I've been depressed and discouraged long enough. I've been in my last bad relationship. Devil, I will not allow you. Cause me to deny God's power on my life. I'm no longer in bondage to the bottle. I'm no longer in bondage in need for the nicotine. I'm no longer under the influence of the power of sin. I'm taking over. Tell somebody I'm taking over. Tell them I'm taking over. Tell them I'm taking. It's time to take. Tell somebody I'm taking over. I'm being propelled into my promotion. I'm being spring forward to my destiny. I'm going higher and higher with the Lord. I'm reversing this thing on the devil. I'm not going down. I'm going up because I'm taking my life back, my joy, my love, my salvation, my joy, everything I'm taking back. We got to understand some stuff. David took over after adultery. Daniel took over after the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took over after the fiery furnace. Jacob took over after wrestling with the angel. Noah took over after the flood. Abraham took over after offering Isaac. Paul took over after he'd been shipwrecked and in prison. Jesus took over at the cross. Somebody in here right now is ready to take over. You had a loss of a loved one that shattered your life. Cancer tried to kill you. The divorce tried to kill you. The drugs and alcohol tried to kill you. The depression tried to kill you. But tell somebody, I'm still here. The devil should have killed you while he had half a chance. But by the grace of God, you look back over your life and realize that you are now an overcomer, ready to take back everything the enemy has stolen and more. What do you need to take over today? We need to allow the thing in our lives that seems to be the biggest battle become the very thing that causes us to take it over. Let it propel you and thrust you into your future. Let it be the thing that calls you to wake up and say, you know what? I'm trying to live for Christ. I'm not ready to die. Come on, give the Lord a praise right there. Hallelujah. Time is of the essence. I'm going to stop right there, church. I'm going to stop. I know I got to y'all part, but we're going to stop right there today. Amen. Amen. That means y'all got to be back next week. Y'all come back. Amen. I know that's right. So we praise God for all of you today. Thank you. Give the Lord another praise in this place.
praise God for all of you and your willingness to be here and to help out, that you was here on this wintry wonderland. And yet you made it, and God is going to keep you safe getting home. Look like the roads are 100% better than they were when we came. Amen. And so we praise God for all of you. You be safe on your travels back home. Amen. And thank you.